I wore my Tecovas, my new brown Tecovas boots, the Chelsea boots, to a dinner a few days ago,
Oh my
and
God,
I
how'd it
got
go?
complimented. Well, they were great. They fit well, but they got complimented, and I was like, well, they're spawn number one, but two, I really do love them. Thank you for complimenting my boots. I love my Tecovas boots. I know Lindsay loves hers too. I love what Tecovas put in their ad copy here. It's about festival and concert season being all about the boots, especially with a big album that came out very recently that I
Oh,
won't name. But
this
if you
ain't
love this album, you're
Texas.
gonna this ain't Texas. You're gonna want your Tecovas. You know, this ain't Texas. These Tecovas. They have seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All of their boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. They have first wear comfort, so you don't have to like break them in and wear them in. They're comfortable right out of the box. I can say that from experience, it's true. And their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. And if you live in a place with a Tecovas store, you should probably go there because they give you a drink, they help you out, they help you pick the perfect boots that you want, and it smells good because there's leather everywhere. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized and regular live music and events, so there's no in-store experience quite like it. But if you can't make it into a store, just go to tecovas.com. That's Tecovas.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and they ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
You or Jayla? Yeah.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And quoting the Daily Mail, The Office's Brian Baumgartner emerges as 2020's top earner on Cameo with over $1 million for recorded shoutouts.
I thought that was like a pretty delightful finding. And also, it makes so much sense to me, you know, in a way. Like a total who, a favorite from a very specific show watched by old and new people. Old and young people. Not new. Old and young people.
New people.
Are you new?
In a way, they're new people. Gen Z, sort of. They're new people.
They're new. They're new. Are you new here? Yes. And apparently, he's like known for making very good cameos. Like, he puts a lot of care into them. Because apparently, it's like a full-time job.
It's probably more fun than making a podcast. Like his office ladies, you know?
Oh, you mean like compared to his former coworkers, right?
Exactly. If the end of year payday were the same, would you choose to make cameos every day for random people or do a podcast once a week with your old coworker?
Oh, I would choose the podcast.
The podcast over, let's call it 5 days a week, just doing cameo after cameo, but like no preparation.
I would choose the podcast. I'm sorry. Like, I would still
no editing
cameos. Come on, cameos. You remember doing cameos are rough. Like,
we did cameos for one day. We've told the story.
You're at the mercy of people, and it's a lot of work. You have to come up with a unique thing for every person when they're all doing the same shit. Happy
hey,
birthday!
Tiffany.
Congratulations. I'm just saying, it takes like
it's tough.
It takes skill to be the person who's like re-excited about a cameo each time. And for how many this guy did, like he really has the skill.
Yeah. Him, we talked about him. We talked about Dulé Hill. There are people who put in the work, but it really is. It's hard to put in this work.
Dulé Hill did not make the top list. The top list was kind of weird. Is he overtook
Michael Rapaport.
Michael Rapaport, which is
why?
Why?
Brian Baumgartner makes sense, and I don't even watch The Office. I'm like, oh, I recognize that face. I know that character. I understand why an Office stan would want this side character as the, like, gold standard.
But Michael Rapaport, what are you asking him to say? Like, what even is, like, his... Does he have, like, a catchphrase? He has a podcast, right? That's, like, his thing, too.
I don't know what the draw is.
I don't know. And then you have Shark Tank's Kevin O'Leary, which is, yeah, that guy needs more money for sure. Actor Sean Astin. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Nostalgia King.
Perez Hilton, which is also kind of weird. Sonia Morgan from Real Housewives of New York. That
Got
makes
it.
Sense to me. And singer Debbie Gibson.
That's really showing the age bracket of people who are paying for cameos.
I know. There's more, too. You have, in case you're curious, Gilbert Gottfried, which makes sense to me. Who's James Murray? Do you know?
He's a comedian. He's one of the impractical jokers.
David and Annie, who I think are like YouTube people, YouTube comedian types, some website estimated how much they made, although I feel like this is not accurate. And then what ended up happening was, I guess the soup man from Seinfeld was on this list, and then he got mad that Cameo revealed what he made and what And I was like, okay, this is just too much drama. This is too much drama, because this revealing this information is clearly like PR. You know, it's like, well, look how much like The Office's Brian Baumgartner is making $1 million on Cameo. Like, look what you could do. Meanwhile, they take 25%. So, I mean, they're also making $1 million, more than $1 million.
Yeah. And where did they revealed this on like a New York Times podcast? Like, not, it wasn't like some Bachelorette's podcast. It was a high profile New York Times podcast.
Wow. Not some Bachelorette's podcast.
Okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay. Let's not put podcasts above other podcasts. Okay. We're all on the same shitty level here.
Do you want to move on to comments?
Yeah.
This is Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, and concerns.
You sure you don't want to talk about the Lady Gaga Oreo? You don't want to discuss it anymore?
Look, I wanted to talk about the Lady Gaga Oreo. I didn't want to dwell on the Lady Gaga Oreo.
Well, we talked about it for now a month.
Where is it? I clicked on the New York Times story that was headlined, "We Asked, Why Does Oreo Keep Releasing New Flavors?" And it's a story about like, it's actually really interesting because it's so obvious, because it's like, oh, because it keeps people interested and it always reminds people that the OG is the best, essentially is what the story is about. And so it's like, we're constantly just releasing new flavors because number one, trash. Novelty sells because they're trash and because they keep the demand for the regular ones up, whatever.
And to be fair to that, like, assessment, it's honestly true. Like, if you try a new Oreo flavor and you're like, yum, yum, it's still like the best one is the OG Oreo. Like,
yes,
maybe a little mint. I'm maybe into a little mint, but not really. But I still go back to the original.
Yeah. Oh, totally. I think this is sort of the nugget here. It says, sales are not the point. Novelty Oreos, according to Mr. Parnell, play a much purer role. They help drive consumers back to Milk's alleged favorite, the 100-year-old Paterfamilias, the plain old Oreo. In other words, the new flavors function as advertisements for the original. Okay. Exactly. It says, sales are up 12% for novelty flavors and classic sales are up 22%. Okay. That's not the point. I clicked this because I was like, I wonder if they're going to mention the Lady Gaga Oreos. How could they not? Listeners, they mention it in the lead of the story.
Isn't that why Oreos would be topical right now? I get that they're like topical always. They're so classic. But I mean, we're talking about Lady Gaga Oreos because I'm like, when can I get one? Oh my God. I signed up. I'm an idiot. I signed up. I sent you the thing. For some reason, I signed up for the website. Wait. Like the Lady Gaga Stan Army Oreo website. And it says, as a Lady Gaga ex-Oreo Stan Club member, you'll be... you'll be the first to find out when any news drops. And I'm like, what am I even signed up for? Like a specific Stan website for these Lady Gaga Oreos. And that is what I am signed up for. And you can create these like Oreograms in which Lady Gaga says like, give me a cookie or whatever. And then like send them to friends. Or actually you can't even send them. I had to screen capture that and send it to you.
They don't have that on the back end yet.
I'm just saying, be careful out there. Be careful out there.
Let's go into comments. Finally.
Okay, fine.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Long-time listener. Sometimes I call. This is the second time you've discussed the chain smokers, and I think, like, less than 2 months. And again, you have called Alex the hot one. I don't know if you have them mixed up or you guys actually think that, but he is widely considered to not be the hot one. Drew is the hot chain smoker. Like, if you Google hot chain smoker, it's Drew. Okay, crunch, crunch, bye.
We're not idiots.
Babe, we don't have them mixed up.
We're not idiots, we have eyes.
We know who the hot one is. We know the hot one. We know. We've known. We know.
I'm sorry, I'm looking at Drew Taggart, like, not for me. If he's for you, that's great.
I just Googled which chain smoker is the hottest. Let's see what comes back with this. Not really getting any good responses here. No one's really written this up.
No, but if you Google, literally, if you Google hot chain smoker and you look at Google Images, Drew is, I mean, a lot of them are together because they're a little joined at the hip, but when there is a solo photo, it is Drew. The first image result is Drew.
I'm seeing a lot of them together. I really can't make a call from this one.
And when they're together, my eyes keep veering towards the hot one. So,
yeah, Drew is not the hot one. He's not.
No.
Sorry, we've made our decision and our decision is final.
Multiple calls. About
I know
this,
people
about
being
we
like,
wrong.
You got it wrong. Like, no, in Who Weekly Canon, we make the rules, and he's not the hot one. So we know who the hot one is. His name is Alex. Andrew? Alex. His name is Alex.
Me munching on a Lady Gaga Oreo, looking at photos of Alex Paul, being like, these people are crazy.
Why are you munching on a Lady Gaga Oreo? Is that just like...
I know. In my dream, in my fantasy.
Okay. Right.
Okay. Next call.
Hey, so I'm sure that you're going to get this call like 50 times, but Chris Massey is a person. He's a who. He was an actor in Zoe 101, and his brother is Kyle Massey, who is from That's So Raven and Corey in the House. So make with that what you will. Crunch, crunch.
There is an actor named Chris Massey. Chris Massey, like in the Hallmark / Lifetime movie, I forget which. Now I already forget which it was on. Maybe Lifetime, maybe Hallmark, whatever. And he is an actor, and he's best known for being on Zoe 101. This show keeps going back to Zoe 101 for some reason.
I can't believe it.
We have even another Zoe 101 call, which you should play just right after this because we have to connect them. But I remember his brother, Kyle Massey, because he was Corey in the House. Remember that show, Corey in the House? He's gonna shake it up and change it. Shake it up. Take it all and rearrange it. Just a little bit. Got a new plan, Uncle Sam. We've got Corey in the House. Party! Corey in the House. I'm your man. Yeah, so his name was Kyle. I guess apparently he had a brother named Chris. And they were also on the Parkers. They had a music video called that they released under the name The Massey Boys, according to Wikipedia. Don't remember this. And Chris did music of his own, but he was known for being on Zoe 101 and some ads, commercials or whatever. So it's true. There is a Chris Massey, a Christmassy.
Hi, Bobby and Lindsay. It's Colin. I am listening to your episode from this week, and you're talking about Chantel Jeffries, and I need you to discuss the Zoe 101 revival that was like produced by her, or she was involved with, or she produced like the theme song, like an updated version of the theme song by Jamie Lynn Spears. And there was a lot of TikTokers were a part of this event, and it was like very strange, sort of like a, not a revival, but a reunion event, but somehow entirely focused on TikTokers, I don't know. Very confusing. I saw it on my news feed a while ago and needed to learn more. So if you could discuss that angle of Chantel Jeffries, I would love to understand why she was involved with that project. So thank you, Crunch Crunch. Love you.
This is a question / comment. It's mostly a comment.
Zoe 101 was like beyond, like not my time. Like I missed that.
It was so far beyond our time.
Yeah, we didn't engage with that. But I understand it. And also I remember when we talked about Jamie Lynn Spears being in that new show, like part of Dixie knockoff, whatever
something
it's called.
Magnolias.
Sweet Magnolias.
Sweet Magnolias,
like,
yeah.
Oh, Jamie Lynn Spears from Zoe 101. So I know people care about her, and I know people care about this show. I personally don't, but apparently people hated this like they people reunited. They did like a whole production. It wasn't even like, oh, we're doing a Zoom reunion. It's like Gigi Gorgeous was there, who has nothing to do with the original. So many
JoJo
people
Siwa
nothing
had
to
nothing
do
to do.
I guess it's like they put in people who cared about the original, you know what I mean, like actresses who were the age that they watched Zoe 101. Is that was that the point?
If that's the point, it's not made explicit in the video.
Yeah.
It's a weird video. The video is sort of...
Chris Massey is in it, too.
They were capitalizing on like COVID reunion trends where people were like, we're bored. We're going to do a Zoom reunion. But this is also sort of tied by like the press this gets is that not only did they reunite to redo the theme song, which really isn't a redo. It's just like a slightly remixed version by Chantel Jeffries, who's a DJ who did all that. She's in the video, too, but like unclear what her role is.
But she wasn't in Zoe 101. So
no,
like,
she was not.
What? So like, what does she do? She's literally there to do the song. Like she's supposed
to do
be
the
like,
song.
I made the song. Okay, interesting.
Well,
okay.
In the video, okay. Her role is like, I'm the assistant director or something. She's like pretending to be a director with Jamie Lynn Spears. It's really just a video for this new remake of the song. The lyrics aren't changed. You can see the comments, which we'll get into in a second. The comments are confused because they were like, I thought you would at least rewrite the lyrics, but they didn't. And so I thought to answer the main question that the caller had, which was why Chantel Jeffries, I thought, well, maybe they were friends because they seem like they're the same age, sort of similar vibes. No, because I watched an interview with them, or I wasn't sure if this is the one I watched or the one I read. But Jamie's like, we had to talk over Zoom and see if we had chemistry. So, like, Jamie sort of reveals that it's not like they were old friends. It's unclear why Chantel was involved.
It's also weird because they literally left out people who definitely would have been in this, who were in the original show, and replaced them with TikTok people. Yeah, like Victoria Justice, who literally just released a single. Did you notice that? Like, she released a new song. And definitely would have done press, like, whatever, would have reunited for the press at least. I mean, I don't know. I'm just saying, like, Austin Butler was on this show, Victoria Justice was on this show, and they missed a lot of them and kind of, like, quote-unquote, replaced them, as the comments said, with these, like, TikTokers, you know?
Yes. So the comments read, I'm just going to read some choice comments that are up at the top of the page. Zoe, this happened in late October. They released this. Zoe 101 was my childhood. I don't understand why TikTokers or so-called influencers have to ruin it. This is a disgrace and an absolute disappointment. Cure Rose said, I can't believe you all couldn't wait for Victoria, Alexa, Paul, and Kristen, but got some irrelevant TikTokers instead. Cheap. AJ says, I'm confused by whatever this was. Lexi H says, am I the only one that doesn't understand why JoJo Siwa is in this? Lexi H, you are not. Reese Williams says, as a huge fan of Zoe 101, I was highly disappointed in this, quote, reunion. Guy Haskins says, then you're not much of a fan. And then Spider-Man responds to Guy Haskins and says, you're not much of a fan if you like this childish nonsense. I don't mean to gatekeep, but real fans would recognize hard work and talent to recreate the song video, which you clearly don't.
But, like, it is kind of crazy that they left out some of the main stars. Like, again, I don't really know a ton about the show, but, like, if you go to the IMDb or Wikipedia, it's, like, the people they're mentioning, like, Paul and Alexa or whatever, are, like, main characters. Mm-hmm.
And they're not in it.
They're, like, second build, you know?
Yeah. And so I was watching these videos of Zoe promoting this video, and along with Chantel Jeffries, and I realized what was actually happening was that this is sort of, like, as far as I can tell, this is, like, putting their toes in the water. They're testing the waters to see if a reboot will make sense, because Jamie says this in one of the interviews halfway through. I'm going to play the clip for you here.
And the fans were very upset about it. So it was great that we did this music video, because we actually got real feedback from the fans. It's like what they want. And they really want that OG Zoe vibe. So that's what when we're having those creative conversations about moving forward with the show, it was nice to be able to give that feedback. Like, look, we have proof right here. Look at what the fans are saying. They want that.
Is that what Jamie Lynn Spears sounds like?
That was my next topic of conversation. I did not know that was her voice.
How does she still have that accent, honey?
I love it. Louisiana? Didn't they live in Louisiana or something?
Also, God, I just remembered I was looking at the Zoe 101 Wikipedia, and the guy who created it is, like, sketchy as fuck. Dan Schneider, remember? He had all those allegations, like, about being shady with, like, young actresses, because he created all these, like, young... shows for young people. Like, this show, like,
I just feel like this is absolutely not gonna happen. I do believe that Zoe is having talks. I believe that she's down to do it, but the Lizzie McGuire reboot is officially not happening. I can't see them doing Zoe 101, you know? Why would they do this?
Don't even get me started on the Lizzie McGuire reboot. Mm-hmm. This video clearly shows if it's a proof of concept. It's not what Hillary Duff and the Lizzie McGuire reboot team wanted for that show. That show has its own kind of failure of concept, if you have been following along. It's like Hillary Duff, like, straight up wanted Lizzie McGuire to, like, be a mature adult. Like, you know what I mean? And no one else did. And I think that's where things went crazy.
Yeah.
But you can read about that if you want. That's not what we're talking about.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. So I just had to pause the pod while you guys were talking about Eve Jobs, because speaking of, like, children of tech giants, Bill Gates's daughter Jennifer Gates is also a horse girl. She's an equestrian, but also she also graduated from Stanford, which is, like, I guess they're just, like, that's the path that you go on if you're the daughter of a tech billionaire or something. Apparently they competed against each other, according to this article from Business Insider. Me inside. Crunch, crunch.
Yeah, so Eve Jobs and Jennifer Gates have competed against each other in equestrian events, which is crazy to me. Their fathers competed against each other in the tech world, the tech sphere.
No, it's very Pirates of Silicon Valley.
Very, very. But we got a few calls that are being like, oh, she's this girl's not the only nepotism horse girl. And they're all covered in on the website horseandhound.co.uk because I was reading. I kept Googling them and this website kept coming up and being like, I have 10 things you got to know about Jessica Springsteen, a.k.a., you know, horse lover. And I was like, I'm reading all of these. I'm reading all of these on Horse and Hound.
You know Horse and Hound?
Yeah. I do.
What does that make you think of?
Oh, Notting
Hill. No. There you go. Ding, ding, ding. Horse and Hound.
Right.
The film's great. And I just was wondering whether you ever thought of having more horses in it.
Well, we would have liked to, but it was difficult. Obviously being set in space.
I mean, does this surprise me? Like, horseback riding is like the most expensive. Maybe not the most. I'm sure people could name whatever. It just feels like the most expensive sport you could get into. The costs involved in even learning how to do this crap. Crazy.
Yeah. I knew someone. I'm not even going to call them a friend because I haven't seen them in forever. But I knew someone whose mother worked in horse sperm sales. And I was like, what? And
yeah,
because horse sperm. And so they need someone to harvest it. I don't know. Collect
Wait,
it. Collect
what?
It. Because she collects it. Like
she
you
was
need
the
someone
collector?
To actually. Well, I mean, that was among her many jobs, the stables. But it's so expensive. Like if you go to.
Horsesemen.co.
No, guess how much I don't even know, a bucket, I don't know, like a vial of horse sperm is? We're talking like around $1,000 plus for every bucket. Again, I don't really know the tubes
bucket,
that they come in.
It's not that much. And it doesn't surprise me. And I think they have, obviously they have places you can go to breed your horses with the bucket of sperm that you've got. I can't with the with what you've purchased. Yeah, of course. I mean, that's a whole industry.
I very genuinely suggest you look at these websites because they provide it's fascinating. They provide entire history. So it's like, oh, this is Helium and they're this particular breed of horse and their mom did this and their dad did this and they like know all the family history of these horses and like, oh, this is good stock. This is why this particular specimen is $1,300 as opposed to like some bullshit $650 bucket of sperm. It's funny. It's interesting. And I was like, oh, wow. Good business. Good business. Anyway, next call.
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. I have an additional theory to kind of help support your case as to why Tina Turner follows Cheryl Cole. I do think that probably it was a mistake, a slip of the finger in a search. And my only kind of supplemental theory, I guess, to yours would be like, you know, Tina Turner lives in a castle in Switzerland. So is the search function of Instagram, like, does it have like a geofilter or take your location into account when you're searching something? Because maybe, you know, since she's closer to the UK and Switzerland, you know, Cheryl Cole is significantly more popular than maybe Cher is at this given time. So maybe Cheryl Cole came up first. I don't know. Just another theory. Crunch, crunch. Thanks.
We got a few tweets about this too. Great theory.
I love this. This is great. These are great theories. Totally. I mean, we only tested the search function like within our own phones, meaning like geotagged to here. So Cher came up first. But you're right. Maybe if you're abroad, maybe if you're in Switzerland. Honestly, do I even think that Tina Turner herself was doing the following? I don't know. We don't know where the person is who was doing the following. I mean, we've been over this. Like,
We've been over this with Dion.
We've been over this with other people with their social media. Like, it's not... We're not 100% sure that Tina was the one who even set this thing up.
Should we actually use this as a way to talk about the email that we got?
I'm not sure. I don't want to reveal this person's identity, but somebody did email us a link to the social media company that seems to be the one. I mean, I'm 100% sure it's the one who started the elf on the shelf, the celebrity on celebrity meme, because literally they represent all of the celebrities who were the ones that started spreading this thing. So clearly they were in the background being like, okay, we're going to post this here. We're going to post this here. Here's Mark Ruffalo. Here's Nicole Kidman. Here's like, it's clear.
Lindsay sends me a link. And I mean, it feels weird to even say the name of the company, but like, the
why not?
Okay. Well, she sends me a link to this place called Digital Media Management, and it's literally digitalmediamanagement.com. And Lindsay goes, just watch the first video. Like, no context, out of nothing this morning. And I'm watching the first video, and it's this sort of sizzle reel. And as people appear on screen, it's all the people from the terrible meme down to Kate Walsh. And I was like, oh, I immediately put it together. I was like, these are all the people who did the terrible meme. We have our proof. We have our proof. Literally starting with Elizabeth Banks.
It's just funny that they're literally called DMM. They're just called Digital Media Management. They're the most, as we were talking about these companies being kind of unassuming on purpose, they're the most unassuming company that does this role. But who cares? We don't need to, we don't need to dig.
We don't need to go. But it was fun to have, you know, something approaching proof.
I think, I think we're pretty much convinced that this was a scheme that we all fell for. And I hope you're happy.
Let's move on to questions. Lindsay, when you came over to my apartment last week for dinner and dancing, courtesy of Lala, did it smell like beef or did it smell like cat litter?
It smelled like beef. That's what you were cooking.
That's what I was cooking. It smelled like beef, you know?
It smelled like beef.
It smelled delicious in my apartment. It smelled like all the yummy stuff I was cooking, and it didn't smell like cat poo-poo or cat pee-pee because I use pretty litter, and nothing beats Pretty Litter's ability to instantly trap odor. It's ultra absorbent, it's lightweight, it's low dust, and 1 6-pound bag works for up to 1 month. Gives me peace of mind. I know I'm gonna have people over and then they're like, oh, it smells like cat in here. My apartment doesn't smell like cat. That's all you want.
No, it doesn't.
You can pick up the cat and love the cat and hug the cat, but doesn't smell like cat.
No.
Their crystals also change color to indicate early signs of potential illness in your cat, like UTIs, kidney issues, and more. This is, in my experience, this is not in the copy, especially helpful if you have a senior cat that's getting older and could have like weird medical issues. The litter crystals will change color and tell you that there might be something wrong so that when you go to the vet, you can say, hey, the litter changed color. Could be this. Check on this. So helpful. And if that is not enough for you, Pretty Litter ships free right to your door. You never run out. You won't have huge kitty litter bags taking up space, especially if you live in a small apartment. And even better, you don't have to lug the huge tubs from the store to your car, up the stairs, blah, blah, blah. Comes right to you. Go to prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. That's prettylitter.com/who to save 20% on your first order. Prettylitter.com/who. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Lindsay Bobby. A boy I went to high school with is engaged to Lana Del Rey. I couldn't believe it when I saw the headline on page 6. He was the cutest boy in school. He played water polo. He was like a puppy dog, like a golden retriever, but he was so nice. And I'm really, really happy for him and for Lana. I'm sure that he makes her very happy and keeps her grounded, but it's pretty funny to think of her hanging out with his family in Modesto, California, literally the armpit of the world. Good form, Bella Thorne.
Who the fuck is Clayton Johnson and why are he and Lana Del Rey engaged? That seems weird. Is he another cop? Crunch, crunch.
Hi, I just got an email. Sorry, long time. I'm too distracted. But I just got an email from Us Weekly that Lana Del Rey is engaged to someone named Clayton Johnson, and I screamed because I went to a youth group with him. And I had no idea that he was dating Lana Del Rey. He was a normie, but he was definitely very hot in youth group. And I think it seems like he moved to LA as a musician, but I definitely had a crush on him. And knew him as a teen. And I feel, it's not interesting. I just had to call you guys and let you know. All right. Crunch, crunch.
So we honestly don't even need to do anything further. Like, this guy is hot. This guy is normie. And this guy is allegedly, according to Us Weekly is confirming it, which is crazy. Us Weekly is
weird.
Us Weekly is like, we can confirm these two are engaged because a source told us, even though Lana Del Rey has not commented or said anything about it. And then the other websites are all saying like, allegedly. But like E! News is saying, according to Us Weekly, she's engaged. So like, I don't really understand how they must have a very solid source, because I'm just saying, like, they're saying, like,
it's the cop.
Details. Like, they started dating in August when they followed each other on Instagram or something. And maybe we think they met on a dating app. We think they met on Raya, totally tracks. And now she's wearing a ring on her ring finger, which, like, to me, I'm like, that doesn't mean you're engaged. But I guess, like, they've confirmed.
I think it means they're engaged the way she wore the ring. She wore the ring for attention. Like, she grabs the mic because she was on Jimmy Fallon's show and performed her song.
She sang something.
Grabbing the mic with the ring. The photo of her sort of, like, doing bird wings where she's like, yay, and her hands are behind her.
I guess, like she very, knows.
Everything's intentional. Like, none of the shots of the rings that the fans have are mistakes to me. They read like very intentional, like pseudo subtle reveals of the ring. If this is a lie, like, what the hell sort of fucking lie is it to come up with Clayton Johnson as the fiance? Like, he came out of left field. It's too ridiculous to be a lie.
I mean, whatever it is, I'm just happy she's not like engaged to that cop. Like, that guy, Sean Larkin, he was no good. I'd rather her be with like a cutie little puppy dog normie dude from like Modesto than that weird cop, that weird famous cop who hosted the terrible cop show, you know, like just the worst. And so does it surprise me at all that Lana had like a rushed engagement, that she literally met this guy on an app and then got engaged to him a few months later? Not at all. Not in the slightest.
No. She sort of revealed herself to be a real kind of like ignorant idiot over the past like 9 months. I mean, she's had a lot of bad press for understandable reasons. Why not just like have some like random normie hunk?
Yeah, truly.
Why not? So who is this guy? His name is Clayton Johnson. He is a musician. He has performed in many, many bands.
I mean, he's got like he's a real hometown hero, this guy. He's done it all, I feel like.
He's been in bands with his two brothers, as the caller said, Chantry and Connor. Chantry is also a musician.
Chantry. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Chantry.
When you look at Chantry's bio, I think he's like one of those working musicians who's just like a guitarist for sort of whoever needs a guitarist, because it's he's played guitar for Rachel Platten. He's played guitar for Demi Lovato.
He's a studio guitarist.
Yeah. And I think that's sort of what Clayton Johnson was up to, too, because he's been in so many bands. He was brought into this band, this very tweeny bopper band called Studio Skyline.
A lot of people, because I guess Stereo Skyline opened for Good Charlotte, Third Eye Blind, and maybe the Jonas Brothers or something. Like, they were like a thing. And a lot of people really tweet, like people we follow or whatever tweeted like, oh my God, not Stereo Skyline. Like, they remember them.
If you were a Disney tween in 2008, you were like, oh, you loved these guys.
Well, I mean, I remember going to see bands when I was at that very precious age, and the openers would always be the guys that you kind of like followed and were like, I saw them first. I knew them first. You know, like they were like, okay, I saw Black Eyed Peas open for No Doubt. And I remember being like, Black Eyed Peas, like Black Eyed Peas, yes. And it was like very early.
That's great. Funny, was Fergie there?
It's funny because they're, oh yeah, it was early, okay. Ferg. Early Fergie.
Okay, I wasn't sure. It was a pre-Ferg or post-Ferg, but
it
okay.
I think it was post-Ferg. But it's funny because Stereo Skyline, he's from Modesto, but the band was from East Meadow, which is where my mom was born.
Really?
Yeah, Long Island-y zone. They were first known for the song Uptown Get Around, and it was in the Sweet Life movie, like the Sweet Life with Zach and Cody.
I'm going to play a clip of this terrible song right now because I cannot believe it.
They had a lot of members.
a lot of people. So Clayton was only in it for a couple of years. He was brought in to be a guitarist. He's sort of like, if we're talking about classical handsome norms, he's the hottest one of all of them.
Well, they gave him the like kind of haircut to fit in with them, but he clearly is a hunk, you know. And some
they gave him the haircut to fit in with them, the sort of like Flatiron bangs with the swoopy sides and sort of like feathered everything. Really weird, very specific.
Yeah.
And they gave him that haircut and his like hunkiness seemed to reject it. Like like in the photos you can tell his hair is revolting.
Just looks normal and he looks hot.
The hair is definitely revolting.
Right.
But he's just playing the guitar in the background. He left, I think, literally a year after he joined.
Yeah.
Because he wanted to start a thing with another guy from there that went nowhere called Black. And I'm going to play this. Listen to this clip. I love the description of this clip that I found of Black because not much content exists from Black. It's a failed little side project. Mm. But the description, I found an interview with this website, BuzzNet. And BuzzNet is interviewing Clayton and who is the other guy? Brian Maddox talking about Black.
Mm-hmm.
And the description is, last week, my girl Danny Vitale and I interviewed the new music duo Black. It was so much fun being able to interview the guys in Black, considering Brian is my boyfriend and Clayton is like my brother. This is Black's first interview since leaving their old band, Stereo Skyline. Hope you enjoy and be sure to check out their amazing music.
I mean, the only Black I recognize in band is BLAQUE. Sorry.
Like, yes. Oh, that's they're the only ones. You can't just be Black.
You can't be BLAC.
No.
No. You are BLAQUE or get it the hell out of here.
I feel like the last thing we need to say about this person is when I posted the video on Who yesterday and tweeted the video, someone who doesn't follow Who Weekly, I guess, saw the tweet and retweeted it with a quote, "Honestly, it's an upgrade from the men she's dated before," which is true.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I think we have a, you know, as Lana fans who think a lot about her and like her music, but are very confused by everything else she does in her life, the mesh mask, et cetera, all the things that she mask, said, the shit she got cop, into this. Yeah, but also the
not understanding
weird,
Black Lives Matter.
Yeah, the weird notes app she posted earlier this year and all of that. And it's we're always kind of looking for like, who's the real Lana? What's the truth? Because she's kind of an enigma, right? But like, I guess ultimately what we always kind of come back to is that she's like super normie, like her kind of taste and her aesthetic and her whatever. Like, even though she put on this kind of like pinup girl vibe, she always like it makes sense for her to live in Southern California and date a guy from Modesto, you know, and him be like this kind of basic studio guitarist with a pop punk history. It all makes sense. Like,
it
I
really,
guess.
Really makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is Future Bobby. I couldn't actually end with that because while I was looking up more footage of this guy Clayton, I was like, what's the earliest instance of these two being mentioned together? And I guess fans had put together that they were dating before the media did. You know, they're very good at finding photos and like connecting the dots. So at some point, it seems like Lana Stans emailed this YouTube tarot person who goes by Clear Path Guidance and Tarot on YouTube, and they asked how Lana Del Rey and Clayton Johnson's relationship was going and if it would last, and this person made a 13-minute long video about it, and here's a clip. I mean, spoiler alert, they don't think it's going to last.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Clear Path Guidance and Tarot. I'm going to do an update on Lana Del Rey and Clayton. I've had a few people email me wanting an update on them. They are now, I guess, dating. I did a couple of readings on them and never felt that there was anything going on. I don't know if it's because there wasn't, and right now it's starting up. There goes my dog. Every time I start doing a video, he does this. So I don't know if, I just don't feel that there's a connection here between the two of them. I'm surprised that they're dating. I have gone online to see pictures of the two of them. I can't find anything between the two of them.
Hi, Who Weekly. I have a little holiday time mystery for you. So I work for a company in the U.S. that is having some sort of Grammy-nominated person in for our virtual holiday party. And we're not a big company, so it's definitely a who. And we've been provided clues so that we can sleuth out who it is. But I'm really bad at Googling, and you're really good at Googling. So I thought you might like to try to figure out who it is as like a fun little guessing game. Okay, so the clues we received so far are: it's a Grammy-nominated special surprise guest. They've performed with some of the greats, such as Stevie Wonder, Prince, Willie Nelson, Lenny Kravitz, and Ed Sheeran. And they've been featured in ad campaigns for Chase Bank, Apple Watch, Kate Spade, and Coach, to name a few. Anyways, I would love if you could use your powers for good and help me figure out who is in advance of our holiday celebration so I can decide whether it's worth the multiple hours on Zoom. All right, thanks. Bye. Crunch, crunch.
The moment this call came in, I was like, I'm in National Treasure. This is my moment. I have to find out who this person is. Like, this is such a fun game to play.
I know you got on it immediately. Like, I didn't even hear this call and you'd already kind of started sleuthing. You're like, I think I know who it is. But then there was a twist.
The caller provides all this information, right? It's like Grammy nominated, Stevie Wonder, Prince, Willie Nelson, Lenny Kravitz, Ed Sheeran. That's such a weird variety of people.
But like, it really it's could like be many a lot genres. Of people because it could be like any sort of...
Or just a one-off performance. Yeah, right. Like blah, 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 blah. Right. Grammy nominated I felt was very important. So then like campaigns for Kate Spade, Apple Watch, and Coach. Okay, so my gendered sexist brain is like, it must be a woman. So I start looking up ad campaigns first because I was like, the number of people that they have performed with is too broad for me to really like find a needle in that haystack. So I'm going to start with the ad campaigns. So I start looking up ad campaigns for Apple Watch. Like Apple Watch doesn't do many celebrities. I found a compilation that was like every Apple Watch commercial ever. Mm-hmm. And I was watching it and I see like Selena Gomez in one. So I was like, Selena Gomez, maybe it's Selena Gomez. No, that doesn't really count. Nick Jonas. So Nick Jonas is the first name that pops out. And I was like, fuck, it's Nick Jonas. I find that he's performed with so many of the people that they mentioned. In a way, he was Grammy nominated. He's never won. That's him. I even texted the caller. I was like, I'm pretty sure it's Nick Jonas, but I'm going to figure this out. I'm going to play the call in the episode.
But I also feel like he's too famous. He's a little too famous for what she described.
Well, that's what the caller said when they texted back. They were like, I don't think our company can do Nick Jonas.
The caller was gracious to your prediction, but did not think so. Yeah.
So what I do is, what's so stupid is that I fall into this hole. I start trying to find like every possible Kate Spade ad that I can think of.
That's good.
Because I'm like, Kate Spade's going to be the way in here.
Yeah.
Still rough. It's not helping me out. And so I listen to the call again. I'm just like, I need that aha moment. I'm just like, what can I fucking do here? This is so stupid. I look at all these Coach ads, nothing. And then I realize I'm an idiot. They just named so many people, right?
Uh-huh.
They named so many brands, including Chase. Oh, because I saw that Nick Jonas also did a Chase ad.
Oh,
and I was that was another thing that made me
that's
that made
big.
Me convinced it was Nick Jonas.
Uh-huh.
But I was like, I'm fucking dumb. It says right in the call. I don't want to Google. So I'm like, okay, if this person is a who, like the caller said, because their company is not, you know, powerful enough,
like,
big enough to afford
Da Vinci's
them.
Exactly, Da Vinci's code.
Exactly, it's Da Vinci code.
This is like the Da Vinci code.
I was like, the answer is right in front of me. If you are a who, there's probably a very explicit and detailed bio of you somewhere. I bet you that this company is lazy and just pulled it from something they Googled. And so I just typed in Stevie Wonder, Prince, Willie Nelson, Lenny Kravitz, Apple Watch, Chase, Kate Spade. And then at the end, Grammy nominated. And guess what I fucking found almost near the top of their Google results?
John Batiste.
Because somewhere on some website on the internet, he gave someone a bio and the bio was all of that shit.
Right.
And I was like, oh, it's him. And I found his Kate Spade ad. I found his Coach ad. I found all of the stuff that he's appeared in. And yes, he is a fucking musician. He's a jazz musician. He is the band leader on The Late Show, the Stephen Colbert Show.
So, of course, he's played with so many different musicians.
With all these people, because he's this extremely classically trained musician who's played with everyone.
Right, he was Colbert's band leader for a good amount of time.
Yes.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, God, this is so stupid. I spent an hour looking this up, and it was the easiest thing in the world.
And that makes more sense than Nick Jonas.
It makes so much more sense.
Yeah, it's true.
Yes.
It's
true. So, John Batiste, I'll play some of his music here. It is, gotta say, stunning. So, enjoy. Got to be him. There's no way it's not him.
To the caller, tell us if we're wrong. I mean, you have to know if you're wrong, but I think you're
call
right.
Call back, text us.
Yeah.
He's everywhere in terms of like brands because he does do a lot of ad campaigns and stuff. He's also an actor. He was in Tremé.
Did you know that he developed his piano skills by taking classical music lessons and transcribing songs from video games such as Street Fighter Alpha, Final Fantasy VII, and Sonic the Hedgehog? Ooh, I wonder if he transcribed the my favorite Sonic the Hedgehog music, the metal level. What's it called?
Oh,
the metal
zone. That's you and Lala are obsessed with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, what
one.
Is that level called? It's called like the metal zone, the metal level. Hold on. I got to. Have we played on the podcast?
Green Hill Zone.
It's not Green Hill Zone. It's called.
Weirdly enough, the song I just played is called Green Hill Zone, the Jon Batiste song like, I just played. Chemical Plant?
Yes.
Here we go. Let's play it.
Yeah. Yeah. Tell me that's not like a Charlie XCX. Like, come on. Like, somebody cover the Chemical Plant Zone level music. It is fucking amazing. Jon Batiste, I know you're out there listening to this.
He's also from New Orleans, which explains if you're into jazz because he grew up around it, but he literally grew up around it because like so many people in his family were musicians. But like we said, he went to Juilliard, which really helps explain why he's performed with so many people. I was Google imaging him and I found him with the same. I was like, does he date anyone? Because I Googled image him and I found I Google imaged him. I mean, if it's who, we have to talk about like if they're
sure,
dating.
Sure,
like,
sure. We always have to.
If they
us.
Are dating
we must,
someone.
We must.
And I found the same person in all these photos. And I was like, not to jump to conclusions, but it seems like this might be his girlfriend. Turns out it is his girlfriend. And she's sort of like pseudo famous. She's not really a who, but she's notable. I wouldn't call her a who. I would call Jon Batiste a who. I wouldn't call this person a who. It's not the same. But she's notable. Her name is Suleika Jawad. She's a writer. Her memoir comes out next year. And I saw that Lizzie Gilbert loved it.
Lizzie Gilbert.
It got the Lizzie Gilbert seal of approval. Incredible. It says, this is a deeply moving and passionate work of art, quite unlike anything I've ever read. I will remember these stories for years to come because Suleika Jawad has imprinted them upon my heart. That's like, imagine wanting a better blurb than that. So, okay. So she wrote this memoir about how she survived like a terminal cancer diagnosis when she was in her 20s. And so now she's like a motivational speaker and she goes on the radio and talks about like what she learned from her brush with death. She did a TED talk that's very popular and famous. She launched something that got kind of popular at the beginning of the pandemic called the Isolation Journal. So I went to the website. It's like a fully fleshed out blog / website / newsletter where she like speaks about isolation and loneliness in this way that's connected to the pandemic. So it's like you have these two very creative people who are in this honestly very New York-y cutie relationship. I love when a call just opens the door to two people I'd never really heard of because I don't really watch The Late Show and I wouldn't have been able to name this guy by name.
I do. That's how I actually remembered him. I was like, oh, isn't that the guy who was the band leader on The Late Show?
Yeah. Well, thank you, caller. And also, you're welcome, caller.
Yeah.
That's him.
You're welcome, caller.
Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour's over. Got to prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. I'm sure you've gotten probably tons of calls about this, but what is going on with Perez Hilton? He got banned off TikTok or something, and he's crying to Charli D'Amelio to bring him back? I don't understand what's happening, and I need to know, and I don't want to read anything about it. Thanks. Crunch, crunch.
You have to give credit to Perez Hilton, at least for this small thing, which is he's toxic on every platform he encounters.
I was like, where are you going with this? Yeah.
Well, it's honestly incredible. I mean, the dude has been toxic now for 20 years. I mean, like nonstop.
15
everywhere
at least.
Everywhere he takes his energy, he's like, how can I make this place the most toxic version of what it is? TikTok is defined by the people who are on it. And Perez Hilton was like, you know, I'm going to take what they're doing, use it, and then also add my own toxic behavior and make it fully disgusting and so disgusting that all of the teens who don't even know who the fuck I am realize how toxic I am and then petition for me to get removed from the platform.
Successfully.
Successfully. And I think, you know, some people are like, oh, this says a lot. TikTok's just willing to remove, to ban people for no reason, da da da. It's like, you don't know Perez Hilton then, because even though I didn't really see what he was doing on TikTok, I think I accounted him a few times and I was like, never show me this content again, never show me this content again. I have a feeling from knowing everything there is from what he's done before is that he was being terrible. He was literally bullying teenagers.
Literally teenagers.
Right.
What did he say? He was like, this is inappropriate for 15-year-olds. Like he was truly being like the adult in the room. And it's like, just like leave the room. Why don't you just leave the room instead of being the adult in the room?
It is weird because I think about this a lot because like, yeah, sometimes we're two people in our 30s. And yeah, sometimes we talk about teenagers too. Like, and And you want to make sure that you're not just like two old people like saying mean things about teenagers. So something like this, I'm always like, oh, interesting. But I think Perez Hilton, it's like he's an anomaly. Like he always finds the way to be the most toxic version. He literally can't help himself. Even in this profile that he did for the New York Times, he ends up being like, well, I'm Perez Hilton and like I can do my shtick anywhere. Like I'm bigger than one app. Like people will seek me out.
Yeah.
It's like I'm excited for the future. It's like, I don't know, after sobbing in a YouTube video to have Charlie D'Amelio reinstate him on TikTok, it's just like he knows that was a stunt and he knows that he can do this stunt over and over again until the end of time. I mean, I think he's going to dig in on Cameo because now, as you learned earlier in this episode, he's making big bucks on Cameo. People are fucking hiring this guy to send messages to their friends and family. But, you know, he's also got his website. He's got all this stuff. And, you know, I think he loves the attention. He doesn't feel like it's negative attention for making a video where he's crying about getting back on TikTok, you know?
Yeah. I think that's the point. Like, he's extremely the boy who cried wolf to me. Like, he always will be. It's really hard. I mean, it feels callous in a way, but like, you show me a video of someone like pouring their heart out and sobbing over the way they were treated, and I might feel a little bit of sympathy regardless of who it is, but he's burned us so many times that I don't believe it. Truly. I just don't believe it. I'm like, you know how this works. You've been doing this for 15 years. It's hard for me to feel sympathy for this guy.
And he does,
you know?
These, like,
is that
this
bad?
Fake. Well, he does, like, also, he's always done it for so long. He does this, like, fake, earnest, sweetie kind of, like, thing where he...
I'm a good guy.
Yeah. And it's like, come on. Like, come on. Like, you invented this type of gossip reporting that spread throughout the internet that is now considered to be like fully toxic. And this is because of what you were doing. It's so weird. It's so strange. But he has actual fans. He has a real fandom. Like I'm looking at a video that he posted with the title is, "This is one of the most powerful things I've ever done." And it's like, now he's going all posy.
Okay.
He's going all posy. And people in the comments are like, go Perez. Like, good energy. Way to have the good energy. And I'm like, who is out here standing Perez Hilton in 2020?
I love this quote in the New York Times story from a 17-year-old TikToker with, quote, nearly 20,000 followers. It says, their name is Grace Honeycutt. Quote, "I think it was a good decision for him to be banned. He used his platform to just throw around drama, which was not a good thing to use his platform for." It's like... thanks, Grace Honeycutt, 17-year-old TikToker with nearly 20,000 followers. I know. It's like, Jesus
shout out
Christ.
Shout out to Taylor Runs, who wrote the New York Times piece about this. And I think that's really, there's all to say. I don't know. I find Perez Hilton so fascinating. I there's a lot. There's a lot there. And
he's still around.
You only know if you know. You only know if you were there, when I was in college, refreshing that blog, rereading his blog, talking about it with my friends and all that. Like,
But even Perez was, I feel like we had similar blog consumptions in the mid-aughts, and even Perez was never really my shit. Like, you read it because it was there, but like D-listed was where I went. Like, and D-listed could be really nasty too, but even then you could recognize that there was a difference between those two things, and that Perez was always a little meaner and nastier, and it wasn't as fun.
Of course, but the novelty of how he did it was something. I don't know. I don't want to like discount it, and I don't want to be dishonest about my own shady consumption habits when I was like getting first into like internet like celebrity gossip and like, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Feels weird to, like, I just looked on the Perez Hilton homepage for the first time in forever. It just feels weird to scroll through that. It still just feels so dated and lost in time.
Totally.
But, okay.
Totally.
Let's play a quick game of Who Are Them to end this.
Hi, Who Weekly. Truly my favorite podcast. Who is, I mean, is Zane Lowe a who or a them? And also, how did he become this person? Like, does Apple own him? They don't have anyone else doing interviews. Such a weird job, and he, I don't know, just a, such a peculiar way to live one's life. Yeah, I'm just confused as to how he became this person. Like, why not just have other interviews sometimes? Apple. Okay. Thank you. Goodbye.
I don't think it's a weird job. I think it's a great job. It's like,
yeah, base, it's
he probably has one of the
job.
Best jobs in radio.
Yeah. And this dude hosted a radio show on BBC from 2003 to 2015.
Long
he's like,
time.
He's like, I think the reason why, and if I, this is kind of what you're asking, why Apple like uses him a lot is because he has these genuinely long and good relationships with artists and they want mm-hmm. to talk to him. And I think that's the number one thing that Apple, Spotify, whatever would want in somebody to host a music show. They're like, oh, we want somebody who will bring in the musicians who are like excited to talk to Zane Lowe. It's like part of the album release rollout. I guess he's kind of less famous here, but I think anyone who really listens to music like knows who he is because he's always attached to people's rollout press yeah. or whatever. And I didn't know. Do you know he's from New Zealand? I don't know. He's Kiwi.
Yeah, he's New Zealand. He's cool. A Kiwi. But is he a who or a them? I guess one, two, three. Them.
I think he's a them. Yeah.
It's a radio them. How many radio thems are there in 2020? Not many.
Well, I think there's a lot of like people who are like, this person is a local them to me because like I grew up
regional radio.
Them on the radio. Yeah. But like in terms of like a kind of, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's like him and like in the UK, I always think of Grimmy, Nick Grimshaw too, as being a big deal because he's always doing those interviews.
My hometown radio hero was Sunny Anderson, who is now a Food Network chef. Sunny in the Morning. She was a radio host before she was a Food Network chef.
Mine was Maddie in the Morning for Kiss 108. Maddie Siegel. Ooh. Matt Siegel, host of Maddie in the Morning at Kiss 108. That was the morning show. That was the pop. I think he's still hosting it. I don't know. I haven't checked in with him in a while. No, he still is. He's still hosting it since 1981. He's 70 years old.
I use Spotify. This is not a Spotify podcast and this is not an ad, but like the one thing that, because I'm not going to pay for fucking both of those things. Uh-huh. The one thing that's almost gotten me to pay for Apple Music over Spotify is Beats Radio. Like I think Apple Radio is cool as hell. I like that they have presenters.
Apple Radio is amazing. And Apple Radio is kind of and I think that's why people would do Apple streaming over Spotify. That's the only reason. Because Spotify otherwise kind of has it. But Apple Radio is pretty cool. When Gaga did her radio show, Nicki did her radio show. Nicki. They do a good job getting people to really sign up and give a show. Our good friend Shawnee is a big stan of the Ezra Koenig show, Time Crisis, which is only on Apple. Anyways, you're right.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Margo Martindale, who are them?
Margo Martindale, who are them? One, two, three, who? Get out of here.
I think it's because it's get also because people mix her up. We've talked about this before. People always mix her up with Anne.
Anne Dowd.
Yes.
Anne Dowd.
People
mix them up constantly.
It was a huge meme for a while. You remember this. I'm not saying it for the first time. But she's also like a character actor. She's always meant to blend in. I think more recently she's had kind of a breakout of the vibe, but that's always, she's always blending in.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. I called previously late at night, but my retainer was in my mouth. So I think that might have like hindered your ability to hear me or my chance to get them through. I just wanted to ask if Albert Brooks was a who or a them. I would argue that, I don't know, like some younger Gen Z-ish kids might not know who he is besides Finding Nemo Dad. But I think it's a them potential at one time. So I'd be curious to hear what you have to say. Chewing foods.
Chewing food, says the person who called to talk about their retainer for the first half. Albert Brooks, who chewing were them? This is tough because I feel like even we're too young to have been around like during peak Albert Brooks time of the 80s.
It's true, but I do feel like he had a little resurgence because his movies were on Nemo the Criterion Daddy. And mm-hmm. people were kind of watching all of them on Criterion, but I guess that's like a niche audience and that wasn't everyone, but just felt like there was like this conversation around Albert Brooks movies of recent.
Mm-hmm. Maybe just I think that's, that I was follow. Extremely niche. That I was know, extremely I niche. Know, I did I watch know. Some Albert Brooks movies I had never seen before, and it was great.
They're great.
Albert Brooks, I guess most famously for me, Broadcast News, you yeah. know,
Modern
Daddy
Romance.
And Nemo.
Daddy Modern and Romance. Nemo.
Defending
oh my God, you're right.
Your Life.
I have
defending
to say, no, you're right. Playing the Daddy and Nemo is the millennial Albert Brooks reference. That is it.
Yeah.
That's it for us.
Well, the caller said that. The caller did mention oh, okay. that, but. I one, two, three, who?
But like he was
yeah, I mean I'd be willing to say like he was an 80s them. He was a maybe early 90s them. I'm willing to believe it, but right now
yeah.
I don't think that it because we were talking about Tina Turner and Cher where they were like and Dionne Warwick where it's like the half life is longer, I guess. The half life for Albert Brooks is a little shorter. Right?
I just feel like he literally made the mold. And yet mm-hmm. still, I think that he's not like he's been a little forgotten in terms of like a new generation.
I'm going to play the clip of Albert Brooks singing that one song in Broadcast News because it always makes me laugh.
D'abord, il y a cette fille dans la boîte de verre qui dit bonne nuit à demain. Sur un bout de musique, des beaux hommes en verre, puis au plein pluriel. Si j'ai la huitième pour les mauvaises nouvelles, avant de s'être tout seul avec mes ambitelles. Derrière son visage, un message de neige, puis au plein pluriel.
I watched, what's the one where Defending Your Life? And
oh,
I was
defending
like,
your life. I love
this movie is literally ripped off by every single thing that's come mm-hmm. out in the past 5 years. Like, it's The Good Place. It's like so many things have ripped that thing off. Anyway, sorry. There, it's just like, it's hilarious.
I really liked The Good Place until the last season when I grew to almost hate it. And then I had watched Defending Your Life in that interim. And then I almost hated it more because I was like, Defending Your Life does everything The Good Place does so much more efficiently and quickly and in a more heartwarming way.
Right. It's like, oh, you can actually do this without CGI. It does it in such a more creative way. Like how good the food is and how like big of a part of the movie that is. It's like,
yeah.
they don't
yeah,
need
yeah.
to do, you don't need to make it look crazy or do any sort of like yeah. graphics or like show. It's just like, you don't need things to appear. You just need a lady to bring you a plate of eggs. They look amazing. And him go, this is the best plate of eggs I've ever eaten in my whole life. Yeah. You know?
Okay, last, watch Defending Your Life if you haven't. Last, who were them?
Hey, Lindsay, Bobby. This is Sam, longtime listener, I think third time caller. So I manage a boutique in Jacksonville, Florida, and the craziest thing just happened to me, and I had to call you guys because I knew you'd be the only people who understand. So being in Jacksonville, we don't usually get a lot of celebrities around here, but we just had someone come into the store, Faye Dunaway, who is a legendary silver screen actress, came in, and she was kind of crazy. She kept asking me questions, and then when I would answer her, she would tell me to stop chattering. Like, every time she would ask me a question and I would answer, she would tell me to stop talking. Which is kind of weird, but also iconic at the same time. And it got me wondering, is Faye Dunaway a who or a them? Because I kind of had to, I recognized the name, but I had to Google her because I couldn't remember, like, any movies that she was in. And I know she's kind of like an older, hate to use that word, actress. So I guess my question is she a who or a them? And then at what point does an old them become a who again? Okay, thank you. Bye. Hey, Bobby Lindsay, it's Sam. I just called about Faye Dunaway and realized that I forgot to do my sign-off at the end, so I didn't want y'all to think I was a fake fan. I'll stop being a chatterbox now. Tim Tebow's a lesbian. Bye.
I'll stop being a chatterbox. Tim Tebow's a lesbian.
I just love the idea of Faye Dunaway being like asking you questions and you saying something and then and her being like, stop being a chatterbox, and you're like, that's iconic. Oh my God, that's iconic. That's like, oh, okay, that's iconic.
I mean, again, not to go back to the lawsuit where she was sued for calling someone a little homosexual boy, but like,
oh God,
I pay money for her to call me a little homosexual boy. That doesn't mean that it's not harassment. It doesn't mean it's not harassment.
It
I'm just saying,
you would
personally, I would
want
not
that
sue.
Experience. Right.
I'd write her a check.
Personally, if she called me a chatterbox, I would hand her the cash register and say, take it.
Do I think that that person should have sued the shit out of her? Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I need to actually check on the status of that case, because every few months I go to the Manhattan Supreme Court search and see what's going on with it. As of a few months ago, it was still going on. I need to update myself on that. But Faye Dunaway, who were them? We're going back to the Albert Brooks conversation. Unlike Albert Brooks, one, two, three, them.
Them.
I think
Faye Dunaway.
That Faye Dunaway doesn't go away. So that's how I feel about
Faye Dunaway doesn't go away, is what they say.
To ask you a question and then say stop chattering whenever you start answering it is so funny.
I guess start using that more often, like asking you direct
stop
questions
chattering.
And being like, stop chattering. Stop chattering.
I was just seeing if there was like any sort of interview with Faye Dunaway where like that's a word that she uses like in things, but I can't find one really quickly. But that definitely seems like a Fayism or something. Like that, even though it was
stop
only
chattering.
This one call, stop chattering.
Stop
like
chattering.
I wouldn't be surprised if more people called in and were like, Faye Dunaway told me to stop chattering too. So if you've been told to stop chattering by Faye Dunaway, call in.
I feel like we're one of those like 1-800 like class action lawsuits. Like, have you been told to stop chattering by Faye Dunaway? Call Bobby and Lindsay at Who Weekly 619 Who Them, and we'll get you the money you deserve.
Well, just no, we won't you get you anything. No we'll money. Play the call and laugh at it.
You don't deserve it.
Anyway, that's it for today. Thank you for listening to our podcast. Thank you for calling in. Oh my God, great calls. We have a lot of them. I'm going to throw in anywhere from like 3 to 5 call. You're doing amazing, sweeties, at the
three
end of this
to
because
five.
There was some good shit this week. Thank you so much for calling. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. We're still getting those good reviews. Love to see those
we
reviews.
We love getting those good reviews. But you know what we love even more? If you go over to
our
Patreon. Yeah, because we're doing so much good stuff. We got a VIP hotline for you to call.
So much good stuff.
We're answering calls over there. We're talking about Hallmark movies in bonus
we're
ways.
We're talking more about thems.
We're talking about thems. Mm-hmm. We're talking about everything. For when you just can't get enough. We got a newsletter with recommendations.
Some people can get enough. I understand if you can get enough. But if you can't get enough, then head over to the Patreon. Not everyone can. Not everyone. I've had enough of this. So,
okay, fine.
Bye. Have a great weekend. We'll see you on Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.
Hey. Hey. Hey.
We know who the hot one is. We know the hot one. We know.
So this is for the caller you're doing, amazing sweetie, that asked if Texas Toast was a who or a them. My dad's company was the first to start selling Texas Toast commercially, and he was involved in a lawsuit against another company that was selling Texas Toast, and a federal judge held that basically it was all bread, so therefore they couldn't, I don't know, have exclusivity of Texas Toast, so even the federal court system agrees, apparently, that Texas Toast is, in fact, a who. It's been 9 years ago to the day since Tinashe was supposedly kicked out of an elevator by Whitney Houston.
Hi, Lindsay Bobby. I was just wondering, what is the canonical spelling of the title of the Betty White bisexual Christmas movie, Bye Bye Santa? Is it B-I-B-Y-E Santa? Is it both B-I? Is it both B-Y-E? We'll just love some guidance there. Okay, crunch, crunch. Bye.
Hi, Who Weekly. Medium time. I'm just calling because I saw that a member of Little Mix left the group. I didn't realize until this point that Little Mix was a group. I thought it was a singular person. So I'm just wondering if you think that they're who are them. That's it. Thanks so much. Much, much.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. So I was just in a live stream Q&A with Ben Affleck for the Way Back, like, FYC thing, and he took a quick sip of Dunkin'. Unfortunately, it was too quick for me to be able to snap a photo, but the Dunkin' order has changed. It was a black coffee. No milk. It was completely black. So just in case you care, Ben Affleck's Dunkin' order has changed. Okay. Crunch, crunch. Bye.